All right. So you might be wondering, what does this have to do with anything? I just thought we'd play something and watch some stuff blow up because that's what I like to do. Anyway, no, just kidding. I've had some conversations with you guys. I know a lot of you are into guns and blowing stuff up and making fires and stuff. But no, but in all honesty, okay, in all honesty, this trailer for The Bourne Legacy, I'm not promoting anything, but do I own the box set? Yes, I do. This movie is all based upon really one guy. The series was about Jason Bourne. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie or anything like that. I'm sure a lot of you have. But there's this operative, basically, that he's like elite. Black ops, you know, just the best training, the ability to do some really cool stuff, and this guy right here, the one that you saw in this trailer, that was not Jason Bourne. This is another guy, because there was never just one. There's never just one of us. There's a lot of us. But in this case, this guy in the movie, and my wife and I, we actually saw this on opening day. It was pretty awesome, and it was just out a couple months ago. You should go check it out. But this guy, he's, am I promoting it? Sorry, my bad. I just get all psyched up for stuff like that. Anyway, so this guy, he's a new guy, okay? He'd be, if we were making a correlation to somebody who is walking with Christ, he'd be kind of like a new believer, okay? He's going through all the training, all the preliminary training, getting all the stuff that's going to create him to become that man that he's been called to be. Now, the unique thing is, in this movie, it doesn't show it on the clip, but he's got to take two pills daily, a blue pill and a green pill. And the blue pills basically enhance his brain function, his ability to think and process information quickly and efficiently. And then the green pill, it enhances his physical abilities, his healing, his strength, his endurance, stamina, all of those things. What's funny about the blue pills, he actually talks about his recruiter, because before he went into the program, he was in the Army. He said that his recruiter actually had to boost his IQ score 12 points just so he could meet the minimum. And God does some amazing things with some regular people. But here's the deal. If he stopped taking these pills or ran out of them, he'd change back into his old self. And that would not be a good thing for him, because all of his abilities would decrease, kind of like if we're not in the Word, if we're not in our daily prayer time with God, if we're not in community with one another, we start reverting back to who we used to be, and that's not a good thing. And so a good portion of the movie is focused on him seeking the one thing that will make these changes permanent. And that's what we're going to be looking at a little bit today, because as man of God, our salvation is secured when we receive Jesus. We know that, okay? But when it comes to accomplishing our commission, what Jesus has commissioned us to do, to co-labor with him, we're in need of something specific from God, and that something specific in the Bible is referred to as an anointing, an anointing. It's a solid act of God that grants us the abilities and power to accomplish what God has really called us to do. And for the church today, I really believe that we need to recognize what the Holy Spirit does in terms of us actually receiving the fullness of what God wants us to give. Jesus is the beginning. He's that cornerstone. He's the foundation. But he's the beginning. God wants us to live so much more of a full life, and he wants us to continue to grow. Life just doesn't stop, and we're good once we receive Jesus. That's the starting point, but there's still more growth that God wants us to go through and experience. And this is what we're looking at, what receiving God's anointing, the Holy Spirit, can do in a person's life. About a month ago, Pastor Steve had he had done a message on Saul's conversion on his road to Damascus. We know him as Paul today, but at the time in the narrative in the book of Acts, he was Saul. God had undeniably impacted Saul's life, and in the process also blessed him with an unstoppable anointing. And so if you guys have your Bibles with you, you have the sheets in front of you so you can look on your handout, but I like encouraging people to open up their Bible and crack that open. And even if it's an electronic version, go for it. Acts chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 17, but just to kind of couch this, this is already after Saul had had the encounter with Jesus. He had been blinded. He had some men take him into town, and then we pick up where Jesus had spoken to Ananias to go and meet with Paul. So Ananias went in and entered the house where Saul was and placed his hands on him. That's key, placed his hands on him. "Brother Saul," he said, "the Lord has sent me, Jesus himself, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. He sent me so that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." At once something like fish scales fell from Saul's eyes and he was able to see again. He stood up and was baptized. Now, when to receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit is really an evidence of God's anointing on Christians. When we receive the laying on of hands and we receive the Holy Spirit by asking the Lord, that's when we really have positioned ourselves to receive kind of like that next step, that next period of growth. Now, this word anointing comes from the Greek word charisma. You guys have it in Greek on your notes. In the original manuscripts, that's how it was written. Charisma, if you can make the association, charismatic, that's one of the root words for that as well. But really what this is, in a literal sense, charisma is an ointment, an unguent that they would call it, and or smearing. But in the figurative sense, it's a special endowment, a chrism of the Holy Spirit, an anointing, an unction. I know that when I was in high school, and I'm coming up on my 20-year reunion here pretty soon, so you can probably do the math. I'm getting up there too, but I know a lot of you guys are laughing because you're like, yeah, whatever. I know, right? Okay, grasshopper, keep going. All right. So, but I can attest to you that early on in my life, I grew up in the Catholic Church. And I can tell you that it was a religion, not a relationship. Now, I'm not hitting on Catholics at all, okay, because there are definitely saved Catholics that we will be in heaven with. So please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Brothers and sisters in Christ, definitely within the Catholic Church. But for myself, it was a religion and not a relationship. And I can tell you that because of that, I was really always walking outside of God's anointing. I never really understood or really took hold of for myself what God's plan was for my life. I knew God. I knew that he existed. That was never a doubt in my mind. I had heard stories about Jesus. Okay, I didn't look at the Bible as being a historical narrative, which it is, by the way. It's not just fables and stories. These are historical narratives. And when it came to the Holy Spirit, that was kind of like, okay, I barely know about Jesus and, you know, the Holy Spirit, what's that? But here's the thing. Later on in life, when I did come to that place where I did receive Jesus, I really positioned myself to receive more of what God wanted to give me. And, you know, but up until that point, I struggled with a lot of things. I struggled with really recognizing what it meant to be a man of God. How would I live as a Christian? What were the things that I could do, should do? What were those things? And as many of you could probably identify with, it was kind of like being lost, you know, not really having a sense of purpose. But listen to what Jesus says. In receiving from the Lord, Jesus is our role model. He's everything. If there's an idea of how we should do ministry, just look at Jesus. This is what he says in Luke chapter 4, and it's in your notes. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can any of you guys identify with this mission that Jesus is on? Can you? You should, because it's the same commission that we've received. God sent Jesus to preach the good news. And then Jesus turns around and he says, okay, now that you've seen me do it, now you do it. This is a scripture that we've been going over and using probably about for the last 6 months. Mark 16, Jesus says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And to those of us who believe in him, he says, he starts off in the book of Acts in chapter 1, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When we receive the Holy Spirit, when we receive God's anointing, we gain for ourselves the means to live with unstoppable purpose. Unstoppable purpose. We pick back up looking at Paul, and when he receives the Holy Spirit, he goes straight into the synagogues and begins to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't hang out. He doesn't go and make some new friends. He goes straight into the place where there's going to be great opposition because it's the greatest place of opportunity. All who heard him were amazed and asked, isn't this the one who in Jerusalem was killing those who worshiped that man Jesus? And didn't he come here for the very purpose of arresting those people and taking them back to the chief priests? But Saul's preaching became even more powerful, and his proofs that Jesus was the Messiah were so convincing that the Jews who lived in Damascus could not answer him. Can you imagine speaking the word of God with such boldness, such intensity, such conviction and understanding that when you speak to somebody, they're like speechless? Any of you guys had some conversations like that? I mean, that's the Holy Spirit at work right there. So let me ask you a question. And this is hypothetical because I don't have the money to back this up, okay? But if at the end of our gathering, I handed each and every single one of you a key, a car key, and I explained to you that, okay, we're going to end in prayer, and here's your key. Now, this key in the parking lot, there is a whole row of brand new Ferrari Enzos in the parking lot, just waiting for you. And your key fits one of those. Everybody's got their own personal Ferrari. Let me ask you, would you spend a bunch of time here talking to each other once this was over about what you're going to do at work today? Probably not. No, who would do that? Seriously. We need to talk one-on-one after this. Okay. No, you wouldn't do that. We'd be like, we might get caught in the threshold there of the door because we'd all be caught in a bottleneck, but we'd eventually pop through, we'd go out into the parking lot, find our Ferrari, jump in it, fire the V12 up, probably giggle a little bit, because I don't know about you, I've never driven a Ferrari, but that would make me happy. And then we'd probably proceed to cruise through town, go to work, show off the, you know, let everybody see the new car that we got, right? Obeying the speed limit, of course, but definitely testing the Ferrari's abilities to go from zero to any speed limit in under 2 seconds. And that's what Saul did, okay? Listen to this. Saul had the anointing from God, the Holy Spirit, and he knew the purpose for which he was given it, to go and preach, to proclaim the good news. I'm going to summarize verse 20. He goes straight into the synagogues and begins to preach that Jesus was the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed because Saul's preaching became even more powerful and his proofs that Jesus was the Messiah were so convincing. God's given us all a Ferrari. God's revealed himself to us. He's given us purpose, a mission, and here's the thing, an opportunity to walk in the anointing so that we can proclaim the good news, the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, here's where I think we have a problem. This is this opportunity, I think, for some. And here's the deal. Because I've seen so many of you come consistent, I'm not thinking the problem is here within this group. However, if we're not part of the problem, if we're not part of the solution, we're probably part of the problem, right? Okay? So here's where I think there's a problem. There's a lot of people in the church today who walk around blind or who think that instead of the Holy Spirit being like a Ferrari, it's kind of like a lawnmower. You guys catching what I'm throwing down here? I mean, seriously, it's almost kind of like not really necessary. You know, I've got Jesus, I'm good. And that's it. And then we wonder why the world around us is in the state that it's in. The spiritual landscape, if you will, is something other than what God wants, what God has called us to. And I think if we can really grasp and embrace our purpose and receive and respond to the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, everything will be different. Everything will be different. I really believe that. Now, I know, here's the deal. I know that the times we're in, ever since Jesus left, he said, we'll be in these end days, these end times, okay? Now, I know that there's a lot that goes into that, and we're not going to get into like Revelation or anything like that, but here's the deal. As men of God, I believe that God wants to do something powerful in this place, and he's not done with us yet. Some of us are just kind of looking at the future as like, okay, God, well, we're just going to hang out and wait till you come. Wrong. We're supposed to continue to go out and proclaim the good news. We need to do that. If we're willing to receive from God the anointing that he provides to us through the Holy Spirit, we'll begin to experience and see that the plan that God has for us in our lives is unstoppable. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be opposition. If we look back and continue on in chapter 9, 23, after many days had gone by, the Jews met together and made plans to kill Saul. I put in parentheses. Go figure. Many were still unwilling to receive Jesus as the Messiah. But he, Saul, was told of their plan. Another version says that he learned of their plans. And I think God has a lot to do with that. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he gives us wisdom, insight, understanding, discernment, all of those things. And so day and night, they watched the city gates in order to kill Saul. But one night, Saul's followers took him and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Man, God is faithful. Not only does he equip us and give us the opportunities to share Jesus with others, but even when conflict comes, he's there with us. He gives us the ability to face opposition, deal with opposition if necessary, and sometimes just totally avoid opposition. The plan that God had for Saul's life was not going to be stopped. It just wasn't. Not going to happen. God set something in motion, and that's it. God was going to use him just as he said he would. And here's the thing. God being the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can hold on to those truths for ourselves as well. When we live a life sold out for God, is there going to be opposition? Yes, there is going to be opposition. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is bigger and greater than that opposition? Do you believe that he's faithful to get us through or around that opposition? I hope so, because he is. I'm going through some crazy stuff right now, but it's only by the grace of God that I'm able to continue going. And I imagine that there's a lot of you in here who are going through stuff, and you're just like, man, I just want to get through the day. And God's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. There's a song right now, Your Love Never Fails. It says, and when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid because I know that you love me. Embrace that. Know that God loves you and that he really does have plans for your life, plans to prosper you and not to bring you harm. Some of our greatest opportunities exist in the places of our greatest opposition. You can look at that whether you're in school, whether you work at the shipyard or other places like that. The greatest opportunities are oftentimes in the places of our greatest opposition. But when we receive from God that greater understanding, that anointing, we can look at those places with a different perspective. Instead of it being some place that it's like, oh man, I just want to kind of hide out and you know, just put my blinders on, do my work, and then go home. We can be like, man, I'm going to do my work and I'm going to lead somebody to Jesus today. Why? Because that's what God's called me to do. And if he's given me a God-sized call, he's going to give me the God-sized ability to do that. We need to embrace that. God is so faithful that we shouldn't hide from our future, but we should embrace it and pursue it. We should pursue that mission that God has placed before us, knowing that we have been called. We have been called and are in a position to receive the anointing through his Holy Spirit. I'm going to wrap with that. And it looks like we only have about, well, less than 15 minutes. The table leaders have three questions that they can go over. Now, here's the deal. We're going to dismiss from each table. So I'm just going to pray before we break into our discussion time. The questions are important, but what's even more important is that today, if you haven't received Jesus and want to, your table leader and the guys around you are going to encourage you to do that. Because here's the deal. If I was up here and I made it like it was not a big deal to receive Jesus, then let God strike me down. Because Jesus is the foundation, the start of everything. And we believe here that it's absolutely necessary for you to be walking with the Lord. And then secondary would be if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't really kind of understood, the men who are leading your table have been walking with the Lord for a while and are ready to kind of help you take that next step. Because I believe absolutely that that's the next step that God wants to take you in. If you haven't taken that next step, if you haven't really received the Holy Spirit, it's time to do that. And why wait? Our days are numbered. We don't know how much time we have. And if we're really truly wanting to do what Jesus said for us to do, if we want to pursue that God-sized call, why would we avoid the God-sized ability that God wants to give us? So let's pray. Lord God, thank you again for this time. Lord God, I pray that that we would all really hear and understand and let you lead our hearts, Lord God. Father, I just pray here for people that may be questioning, is this something for me, Lord? I pray that you will speak to their heart and to their mind and give them a greater understanding of just how much more you want to fill their life with color and excitement. Lord God, may we receive your message today, and out of response to your love for us, Lord God, I pray that we would respond and we would receive what it is that you want to give us. So we thank you, Lord, in advance for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.